الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the chapter the author here mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب التشهد the chapter with regards to the affairs of التشهد and we read the last narration that he mentioned in this chapter رحمه الله he says عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت ما صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن أنزلت عليه إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح إلا يقول فيها سبحانك ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي وفي لفظ كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي The author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not pray a prayer after the chapter was revealed to him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ And whenever the aid of Allah comes and the conquest, meaning the whole chapter. So she's saying radiallahu anha that there was no prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he prayed after the revelation of this chapter illa yaqulu fiha except that he would say in that prayer subhanaka rabbana wa bihamdika allahumma ighfirli glorified are you our lord and worthy of all praise we glorify your praises O our lord O allah forgive me O allah forgive me that he would say this. There would not be one prayer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except he would say this after this chapter was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning not an obligatory prayer, nor a non-obligatory prayer. Wa fi lafdhin, and in one wording, kana rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yukthiru an yakula fi ruku'ihi wa sujudihi. And in one wording, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say a lot in his ruku' and in his sujood. So the second wording here is clarifying the place for the supplication in the prayer. It's clarifying the place for the supplication in the prayer, and that is in the ruku' and in the sujood. In the ruku' and in the sujood. And he would say, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ighfirli. I glorify your praises, O Allah, and O Allah, forgive me. And we're glorifying you, O Allah, and praising you. And glorifying your praises, O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. So we see here that the place for the supplication is in the ruku' and in the sujood. And the fact that the author, he mentioned it here in the chapter of at-tashahud, indicates that either he believes that likewise the place for the supplication is after the end of the prayer, but before the taslim, or else there was a slip in the understanding or in his pen and he put this chapter or he put this hadith here and in reality it belongs in the adhkar of al-ruku' wa sujood and in reality it belongs in the chapters or along with the narrations collected in the description of the prayer with regards to the adhkar of the ruku' and the sujood because this is the place that clearly it has come that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he would say this supplication, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika, Allahumma ikfili. Glorified are you, O Allah, and our Lord, we praise you, and all praises belong to you. And then he would say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ikfili, O Allah, forgive me. So this was after the revelation of the chapter, Surat An-Nasr. Surat An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ If the aid of Allah comes and the victory or the conquest, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا And you see the people entering to the religion of Allah in groups and in masses. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ Then glorify the praises of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا And verily, he is the all-forgiving and the one who often accepts the repentance. So we see that the scholars of Tafsir, they have agreed that the Fath here, the mention of the Fath here, is the conquest of Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, which was in the eighth year, of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the revelation of this chapter, it was in Hajjatil Wada', and it's mentioned that it was in the days of Tashriq in Mina, in the days of Tashriq in Mina, which was in the tenth year of the Hijrah. Naam, the revelation of this verse. So it also has come narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha that she mentioned after this, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yata'awwalu al-Qur'an, that he used to make ta'wil of the Qur'an. The meaning of ta'wil here is al-imtithal, kana yamtathilu the amrillahi azza wa jal fil Qur'an, any meaning that he would apply that which he was ordered in the Qur'an. So we see here that Allah azza wa jal, he has ordered him to glorify his praises, to glorify the praises of Allah, and to seek forgiveness, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. So glorify the praises of your Lord and seek his forgiveness. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has complied to precisely in this narration. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. This is the application of that, the application of this command from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and glorify the praises of your Lord, is in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this narration, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Glorified are you, O our Lord, and with all praises, and we glorify your praises, Wastaghfiru is in the statement, or the application of this command is in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma gfirli, Allahumma gfirli. So we see here again in the order from Allah Azza wa Jal here to glorify the praises of Allah and then seek his forgiveness. And that is from the manners of supplication, and that a believer, he will glorify Allah and praise him and show thanks to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then after that he will request. Then after that he will request his need. And here the need is, and the request is forgiveness. And it proceeds by a tasbih wa hamd. Tasbih wa hamd, it's preceded by praising and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal, glorifying him above any deficiency or any weakness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying him above any resemblance to anything from the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani subhanaka Allahumma, O Allah, Rabbana, wa bihamdik, and to praise him and to glorify him, yani to free him from all, to free him from all deficiencies and weaknesses and any resemblance to him whatsoever and any aspect with his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to affirm for him all of the attributes of perfection, and the blessings are for him. And this is the issue of the praise of Allah azza wa jal. So the tasbih, or when one says subhanallah or subhanaka allahumma, at tasbih, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is at tanzih, usabbihuka yani unazzihuka an an-naqais wal-uyub. Whenever a person, he says subhanallah, or like here in this narration subhanaka allahumma, this means that one, he will glorify Allah, that he will glorify Allah and believe that he is free of all defects, and believe that he is free of all defects and all shortcomings, and that there is nothing like him or resembling to him. This is to glorify Allah, and to free him from any deficiency and from any defect or any shortcoming or having anything resembling him whatsoever, to free him from this. This is what it means to say subhanallah, to glorify Allah. In English we said to glorify. What does it mean to glorify him? Meaning to glorify him above having any defect or any weakness or any shortcoming, to glorify him above having any resemblance to anything from his creation. He's greater from that. He's greater than all of that, and he's free from that. There's nothing like him. There's nothing comparable to him, not in his essence, not in his that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in his sifat, not in his attributes, not in his life, not in his knowledge, not in his power, not in his command and his authority, not in his wisdom, not in any of his attributes, not in his mercy, not in his kindness. There's nothing resembling him whatsoever. Laysa kamithlihi shay. وهو السميع البصير لم يكن له كفوا أحد. Nothing resembling him or comparable to him whatsoever. Subhanallah. That's what this word means. A believer, he should learn these terms and know them. And whenever he says them with his tongue, and he knows what they mean. And he knows what they mean, and therefore he says it along with firm belief and faith. He says it along with firm belief and faith in his heart. And in this manner, these adhkar and these words, they will benefit a person. They will benefit a person. As for if he's saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and after every prayer, 33 times, for example, but he has no clue what he's saying. He does not know the meaning of the words that are coming out of his mouth. Then how could they benefit him? Rather, somebody who says something that he did not know what it meant, they would consider him to be a fool, or either he has lost his mind. So therefore, a believer, he has to have great concern with learning the religion, especially the words that he says with regards to the Salat and the Adhkar in the morning and in the evening, that he knows the general understanding of these words and what they mean, and he's saying them upon belief and certainty and faith. Whenever he says Subhanallah, and he's glorifying Allah, meaning Allah, I glorify you above any defect or deficiency. I glorify you above having any rival or any peer or anything resembling you whatsoever. And he said, this is the meaning here. This is the meaning here. There's nothing resembling Allah Azza wa Jal whatsoever. And he has no deficiency whatsoever. And he has no defect whatsoever. And he doesn't get tired. And he does not get sleepy. And he does not need food. He does not need us to worship him. Rather, we need to worship him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rather, we need to worship him. Glorified is Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the meaning of this, Subhanallah. Subhanaka Allahumma. O Allah, we sing, O Allahumma, O Allah, O Allah, Rabbana, O our Lord, Rabbana, yani istajib, O our Lord, accept from us, respond to us, answer our supplication and our call, accept from us our worship, wa bihamdika, yani tasbihun, mashubun, bilhamd, wa thana, yani end along with your praises. So here we have the tasbih, and we have seen the meaning of that, and then likewise we have alhamd. And people of knowledge, they mentioned that alhamd, it means to mention the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. To mention the praise of Him, meaning to praise Him with love and veneration and honor and respect. And to praise Him for His perfect names and attributes. So here is affirmation, affirming the attributes of perfection for Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa bihamdika. So when of a person, he praises Allah with alhamd, then he is affirming for him the attributes of perfection and the attributes of perfection and beauty, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they belong to him alone, and that they belong to him alone, and that he is perfect in his life and in his knowledge and his wisdom, and he's perfect in his mercy and in all of his attributes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's perfect in that, and therefore all praise belongs to him, and we praise him and thank him with love. And also he's praised, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his bounties and his blessings, the numerous bounties and blessings and the good of this life, from the health and the wealth and the prosperity and the security and the safety, all of the blessings, all of the good that we have in this life. Allah, he is the one providing for them. Allah, he is the one who's bestowing them upon us. And at the head of all blessings is the blessing of al-Islam and the blessing of guidance to the straight path and the blessing to have beneficial knowledge and the application of that. And the application of that. So this is the greatest blessing, along with all of the blessings. So then the praise is for Allah Azza wa Jal, the type of praise that is coupled with love and magnification and veneration. He's praised for his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and he's praised for his numerous blessings and bounties that cannot be counted nor enumerated. So therefore here we have a negation and affirmation. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is saying here, Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. We have the tasbih, and this is to negate any deficiency from him, and to negate any resemblance from him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to negate any likening to him from anything from his creation. So this is to negate any deficiencies, any weaknesses from him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, alhamd is to affirm for him the attributes of perfection. The attributes of perfection. And this is the pillars and the foundations of believing in the Tawheed of the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, it stands upon these two pillars. And the fundamentals of the proper belief and faith and creed in the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes, they're established in this manner. Tanzihun bila ta'thil wa ithbatun bila tamthil, wa ithbatun bila tamthil, that one, he will believe that Allah, He has nothing resembling to Him, that He will negate all weaknesses from Him, but He will not deny any of His attributes. He will deny that any weakness from Allah Azza wa Jal and negate that from Him, or any resemblance, but at the same time, He will not deny the attributes. He will not deny the attributes. He will deny the weaknesses from Allah Azza wa Jal while affirming the attributes. And then whenever He affirms the attributes, He will affirm them without liking them to the creation whatsoever. Without liking them to the creation whatsoever. So therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has no deficiency whatsoever, and He has no weakness whatsoever. And this negation is the affirmation of that which is contrary to that. Any that which is contrary to that in perfection. Rather, He has all of the most beautiful names and attributes of perfection, no deficiencies whatsoever, to the peak of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, specifically in His names and His attributes. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika. We're glorifying your praises, O our Lord. O Allah, O our Lord, we're glorifying you and your and with all praises, yani praising you, yani with all of the attributes of perfection, and praising you and thanking you for all of your blessings. And then after that, make the request. Allahumma ikfirli. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. So again, here we see the issue of knowing one's Lord and His greatness and His bounties and His blessings and His perfection, and that He is worthy of all praise and He has no needs whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is the Creator alone and everything besides Him is creation, and that He is the Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything besides Him is provided for and sustained, marbub, and that one knows his own soul likewise. Allahumma ikfirli. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. So this is the supplication that one will say in the ruku' and in the sujood. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned this will be after bringing the dhikr of that place. And he first will make the dhikr that is legislated there. And he, for example, in the ruku', he will say, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. He will say that at least one time, to fulfill the obligation. Or he will say it three times, and he for the best manner, or more than that if he likes, if he's praying by himself, for example. But then after he fulfills that wajib, then he will make this supplication here. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ikfirli. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ikfirli. He will say that one time or two times or three times, whatever is easy for him after bringing the wajib. And then likewise in the sujood, he'll bring the wajib at least one time or three times or more than that, whatever is easy for him. And then he will bring the supplication as well. He will bring the supplication as well. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, مَا صَلَّى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ أُنزِلَتْ عَلَيْهِ. And actually in the wordings in Bukhari and Muslim, بَعْدَ أَنْ نَزَلَتْ أو بَعْدَ أَنْ نَزَلَ. And it has come like this, أُنزِلَتْ, this is how it is in Umdad al-Hakam, but in Bukhari and in Muslim, نَزَلَتْ. The meaning is the same. يعني, but as for يعني, that which is found in the books of Bukhari and Muslim, نَزَلَتْ وَنَزَلَ. يعني عَلَيْهِ. يعني, that he did not pray any prayer after this was revealed to him. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned any obligatory or non-obligatory. Obligatory and non-obligatory, except that he would say this. Except that he would say this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it's legislated to say this here. It's legislated to say this supplication here. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ikfirli. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ikfirli. A believer, he should memorize this and know what it means. Glorifying Allah. Glorified are you, O Allah, high above any deficiency or weakness or having any resemblance or any deficiency. Glorified are you above all of that. And I praise you, meaning I affirm for you the attributes of perfection, and all the blessings are from you alone. And I praise you and I thank you. And O Allah, forgive me. And that's what it means. That hamd, it means to love Allah Azza wa Jalla, to thank Him and praise Him. And he coupled with love. Coupled with love. So therefore one will say this and he will believe this in his heart and he will mean this and he with faith and he will say, Allahumma kfili, Allahumma kfili, oh Allah, forgive me. And whenever he's in that position of humbleness, whenever he's bowing before Allah Azza wa Jalla in ruku', whenever he's bowing before Allah Azza wa Jalla in ruku', humbling himself and his body in this manner, his heart will be submissive as well. His heart will be submissive as well. And likewise, whenever he's in sujood and he will place the most noble portion of his body on the ground, his face and his forehead on the ground before Allah alone and no one else, and then he will glorify Him and praise Him. He will glorify Him and praise Him, and he will seek forgiveness. he would seek forgiveness. This is the beautiful way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful slave? As he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it's legislated here. Also we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say this abundantly. And also it's been mentioned and narrated from him that he would say أَسْتَغْفِرُ wa atubu ilayhi أَكْثَى مَا سَبَئِنَ مَرَّ فِي الْيَوْمِ, that he would seek forgiveness and repentance from Allah more than 70 times in a day, meaning a number of times. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here in this, he would not pray one prayer except for he mentioned this here, seeking forgiveness from Allah azza wa jal, and he is the noble slave of Allah azza wa jal that has been pardoned and forgiven for that which has preceded and that which was to come from his sins. Yani he's been forgiven entirely, yet still he would constantly seek forgiveness in this manner. He would constantly seek forgiveness in this manner. And likewise we see again with the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said كَانَ يَتَأَوَّلُ الْقُرْآنَ, that he would apply the Qur'an. And again it has preceded also the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha whenever she was asked about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said كَانَ قُلُكُ نَبِيِّكُمْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam الْقُرْآنَ, and in the interpretation of that, who remembers that? What does that mean, that the manners of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an? What does that mean? يُحِلُّ حَلَالَهُ وَيُحَرِّمُ حَرَامَهُ إِنَّهُ وَيَمْتَثِلُ لِأَوَامِرِهِ وَيَنْتَهِي عَنْ نَوَاهِيهِ, meaning that he would apply it, the commandments that are in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his manners were the Quran, meaning that he applied the commandments that are found there. If there are commandments in the Quran, he would apply them and he would comply to them sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if there are prohibitions, he would leave them and he would avoid them and stay away from them. And whatever was declared to be halal, he would partake in that and enjoy that and command that. And whatever was declared to be haram, then he would forbid that and avoid that and stay away from that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, in this manner, he would apply the Qur'an until the extent that his manners were the Qur'an. Yani meaning that he applied it. And this is another example of that. And there is a command here specifically to him. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, يعني يا محمد, يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. So glorify the praises of your Lord. Yani, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and seek his forgiveness. And then he complied to that and he applied that and he fulfilled that commandment and he put that in application in his ruku' and in his sujood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This particular verse here, or this particular chapter, and Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, if the aid of Allah comes and the conquest and the victory, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in masses and in groups, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, then glorify the praises of your Lord and seek his forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, verily he is the most forgiving and the one who often accepts the repentance. That this was revealed in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was revealed, as has been mentioned, in the 10th year in Hajjat al-Wada' and in the days of Tashriq. It has been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma about this in Mina. And then after this verse was revealed briefly, after this chapter was revealed, then the verse was revealed to him likewise, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا, that on this day I have completed for you the religion, and I have perfected my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion. Yani that it was revealed, and this verse was revealed on Yom Arafah. But the people of Najd have mentioned any around the same time, whether it's before or after. Allah knows best. Yani what is clear here now that because Yom Arafah is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and the days of Mina, Ayyam al Tashriq, is 11th, 12th, and 13th. So therefore, any based upon that, then this surah was revealed after اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Al-Qurtubi, he mentioned that this was revealed before that. And Allah knows best. and Allah knows best. They were revealed around the same time in Hajjatul Wada. No doubt about that. So the point from that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's informing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that soon his death is coming, and that the term of his life is coming to an end. And everybody, he has a term, and everyone is coming to the end of his term. And as for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed with the revelation of this chapter that his term is coming to an end. But not all of the companions, they realized that. But Umar radiallahu anhu, and likewise Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and others from the companions, they realized that. And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise after the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the Khilafah of Umar, ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, he used to have gatherings of consultation. And in those gatherings, those who would attend the gatherings, it's been mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Ash-Shaykh Badr, like the elders, scholars, and mashayikh that attended the Battle of Badr, from the best of the companions and the elders of the companions. And it's been mentioned that Umar, he used to bring along with him Abdullah ibn Abbas, into these gatherings. And it's known that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah, he was around 13 years old, approximately. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was born in the year they came out of the Shi'b Abi Talib. What year was that?
7.
That's when they went in. The 3 more years. The 10th year. In the end, right before they came out of the Shi'b of Abi Talib, in the 10th year, after the Mab'ath, so 3 years before Hijrah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he was born. So then after that, so 3 years, and then Hijrah, 10 years, so he was around 13, radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And then Abu Bakr, he had the Khilafah for 2 years. So now he's 13, 14, 15. And then Umar, he has the Khilafah now. So in this time, and he's around 15, 16, 17 years old, approximately. But in this gathering, and it's a gathering of shura, and consultation, and getting advice, and discussing affairs of the ummah, and the likes like this, and those who would attend Ashyakh Badr, the elders that attended the Battle of Badr, that were elders, and they attended these battles, and the likes, and known for their knowledge and their diligence and their aid and support of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar, he used to bring along with them Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. Until some of the people, they mentioned about that. It's been mentioned that from them that asked him, why do you bring him? We all have sons. Should we not bring our sons too? It was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, and he was one of those who attended, and he's from the al-mubashirin, al-ashr al-mubashirin bil jannah, from the greatest of the companions, dullani ala suk, the one who had that great statement, whenever he made hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very beginning. He's from the muhajirun. So he said, he asked Umar, why you bring this young boy here? We all have young boys, we all have sons, can we bring ours then, if you're going to bring him? And so Umar, he wanted to show the people and those ashyaq the reason why he brought him, and that he has a miza and a virtue over the rest of the youth. And this was because of his understanding of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of his firm knowledge of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he asked all of the people there, all of those ashyaq and all of those elders and those people of knowledge that he would consult with. And he said, he mentioned this chapter, إِذَا جَاءَ نَسْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and if the aid of Allah comes and the victory, he said, what do you all interpret this to mean? What do you understand from this chapter here? So some of them, they said, if we're aided and we're helped and we have victory, that we should praise Allah and thank Him and seek forgiveness. And others, they said, I don't know, Wallahu A'lam. And others, they didn't say anything. And so some of them, they understood what was apparent from the chapter. Some of them understood what was apparent from the chapter, because that's what it says. Whenever the aid of Allah comes, and the victory comes and you see the people entering into Islam, then praise Allah and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness. So they understood that which was apparent, which is also true. But others maybe understand a deeper understanding. And from that, Umar, and likewise Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. So he said to him, young boy, what do you understand? Yani to Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla was informing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his death, and that his death is near, and that his death is near. Yani, and Umar, he said, ma alimtu minhu illa ma taqul. He said, I don't know anything from this chapter except what you say also. And he said, this was the understanding that he had, and to show his virtue over the even the elders of that time. But this chapter here, the wisdom of that, yani, it was to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his nearing death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and informed him of how to complete his life, and how to complete his life. So he says, "Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfirhu." So therefore, glorify the praises of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was ordered in this manner to complete his life and to finish his life with seeking forgiveness from Allah. And it was from his methodology, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he would finish the actions of worship like this. And we know that whenever he would finish the prayer from his sunnah, to immediately after taslim, to say astaghfirullah, 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 in this manner. And likewise, Allah has ordered the people that whenever they finish the rites of hajj, astaghfirullah, that they would seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after completing great acts of worship and after finishing any great pillars about Islam, that he would close that and finish that with seeking forgiveness and asking pardon and covering of one's faults and errors. And like this, even he was ordered in the end of his life to close his life in this manner and to finish his life in this manner. And this is a beautiful example of the fact that he was a slave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he was humble and he was submissive, and that he closed his life in this manner, and according to that which Allah had decreed, and that Allah had ordered, seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. From Allah Azza wa Jal. There are a number of benefits here. From them we see that Allah Azza wa Jal, He favors whom He wills with knowledge. He favors whom He wills with knowledge. And some people understand something from the Quran, and others understand more. Maybe some people will understand a verse of the Quran based upon that which is apparent, and others they'll be able to derive that which is apparent from the benefits, and others they will read the same verse and they will be able to derive that benefit in two or three more, or even others will even go further and to ponder over that verse and relate it to another verse and understand three or four or five more benefits, any that the first one didn't understand. So understanding is a favor from Allah. Any understanding of the Quran and of the Sunnah is a favor from Allah. And some have been given a greater understanding than others. And even sometimes someone will be from the youth and from the youngest of the people, and they will have a greater understanding than the elders. They'll have a greater understanding than the elders. And we see here Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and a number of the great scholars and companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who witnessed Badr, they didn't respond to the question. Some of them they said, I don't know. Others they didn't say anything. And some of them they only understood what was apparent. But Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he's a young man, radiallahu anhuma, he understood a great benefit from that. The understanding of one of the most knowledgeable. Rather, at that time, he wasn't the most knowledgeable. Yani Umar radiallahu anhu. So this is a great benefit, that sometimes the one who is younger, he will have an understanding that even the elders do not have, especially with regards to specific issues and specific affairs. There are a number of benefits with regards to this, and Al-Qurtubi Al-Mufassir and Al-Qurtubi Al-Muhaddith. Yani there are two scholars named Al-Qurtubi, huh? Al-Mufassir Al-Muhaddith. Yani we have some benefits from the Muhaddith that he mentioned about this affair. Yani the meaning of this verse, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, referring to Fat Mecca, referring to Fath Mecca. And he mentioned فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. And he called, Ya Muhammad, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi wa astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayhi. Wa astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayhi. This is the meaning of this verse. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. And he say, O Muhammad, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi wa astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayhi. And I seek your forgiveness, O Allah, and I repent. And I repent to you. So he mentioned that this is an application to those verses that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he applied that, and he mentioned likewise that this was revealed in the days of Mina, or in Hajjatul Wada', and then also the Al-Yawma Akhmaltu Lakum Dinakum was revealed. And then soon after that, the ayat al-kirada in the end of Surah An-Nisa was revealed. And then, so whenever this chapter was revealed, and then also al-yawma akhmaltu lakum dinakum, when this was revealed, there was about 80 days left in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he lived approximately 80 days after the revelation of this chapter, and likewise the verse al-yawma akhmaltu lakum dinakum. And then it was not long after that the ayat al-kilala, istaftunaka al-kilala, this was revealed. And after that he said there was about 50 days left in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that it was revealed, laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum azizun alayhi ma'anitum harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. This noble verse in Surah Tawbah. In Surah Tawbah at the end. And the end of Surah At-Tawbah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And he mentioned he lived after this verse about 35 days, and then it was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, and fear the day that you return back to Allah in that day. And he mentioned that he lived about 21 days after that. And so this was in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how he was commanded to end his life. And this is something that a believer, he would strive to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner, and that he would end his life likewise in a life of repentance and seeking forgiveness. And with that being said, a person, he does not know when the end of his life will come. Maybe he will die soon, or maybe he will die later. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us a long life upon his obedience and to give us all a good ending. But a believer, he has to strive for this issue particularly, that he will die upon repentance, that he will die upon seeking forgiveness, and that he will die in a manner of piety. And there's a beautiful narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ لِلْعَبْدِ خَيْرًا عَسَلَهُ, that if Allah, he wants good for a slave, عَسَلَهُ. The companion that said, وَمَا عَسَلَهُ, what does that mean, عَسَلَهُ? Al-asal literally is honey. So maybe you could translate it to mean that he sweetens him up. that has a close meaning literally. But the companions, they didn't understand the literal meaning. They said, what does that mean, asalahu? What do you mean by that? He said, and yuwafiquhu Allahu ila amali khayrin fa yaqbiduhu alayhi. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he'll give him success and he to do righteous and good deeds, and he'll take his soul in that manner. He'll take his soul in that manner. And so this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, that a believer, he will be upon khayr in the end of his life, and he'll be upon obedience in the end of his life, and he will die in the sweetest manner, in the best manner. And what a soul that is pure, and a soul that is good, and a soul that is content with the decree of Allah and the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So a believer likewise, he will strive upon this way to seek forgiveness and to live a life of piety, and strive to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, and seek forgiveness for one's shortcomings and deficiencies. And this is how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived and he died upon obedience and upon piety and righteousness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so a believer who strive to follow him in that manner, and he will hope likewise to die upon goodness, to die upon goodness. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-Witr. Babu al-Witr, the chapter of al-Witr. Babu al-Witr, the chapter of al-Witr. In the Arabic language, you say al-Witr wal-Watr. You say al-Witr wal-Watr. And you say it with a fatha on the waw and the kisra, and it has the same meaning. Wal-Shaf'i wal-Watr. Wal-Shaf'i wal-Watr. Also, there's a qira'ah from the seven qira'at, Wal-Shaf'i wal-Witr. Wal-Shaf'i wal-Witr. Some of the authentic, well-known recitation from the seven recitations is like this. Is like this. And al-Witr or al-Watr in the Arabic language, linguistically, it means al-Fard. Al-Fard. It means al-Fard. You need to be alone. To be alone. To be alone. Also, the scholars, I mentioned, وَكُلُّ عَدَدٍ لَا يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَّا بِكَسْرٍ. And every number that will not be divided except with a remainder. Every number that cannot be divided except with a remainder is also called witr. So witr, it would mean, it referred to being alone, something that is alone and one only. One only from this aspect, from the names of Allah, witr. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْر. Verily Allah is a witr, and He loves. And he loves al-witr. He loves al-witr, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also from that meaning, from the meaning of witr, to be odd. To be odd. And it's something that is odd, like 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Because if you divide it, then it will always have a remainder. So this is called witr. This is called witr. Also has come, the word witr. It's from the verb is watara. Watara yatiru. Min babi daraba. Like wa'ada ya'idu. Watara yatiru. Witran wa watran. But we've seen that meaning. If you say, for example, watartu as-salata wa awtartu as-salata, ay ja'altuha witran. Ja'altuha witran. So you say watara, and also on the scale of af'ala, you say awtara. Awtara has the same meaning. But there's another meaning of witr also, and it means an naqs, to deplete something or to make it deficient. You say watara fulanun zaydan haqqahu aw bihaqqihi watara watara aw taqul watartu zaydan bihaqqihi, I decreased him his right. And so this has come in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من فاته والذي فاته الذي فاتته صلاة عصر كأنما وتر ماله وأهله كأنما وتر ماله وأهله أي سلب منه وأخذ وتر ونقص. The one who he did not pray the عصر prayer in the proper time and missed him, then it's as if his family witr was made to his family, meaning that his family and his wealth has all been deplenished and been taken and stripped from him. And to resemble the great loss and reward for the one who missed the Asr prayer, and as if he lost his family and all of his wealth. And the point is here that the word witr has more than one meaning. From that, an naqs. But the intent by witr here is the night prayer, at-tahajjud. They call it qiyam al-layl, and they call it at-tahajjud, and they call it al-witr. And all of this is what is intended here, the night prayer. The whole night prayer is called witr. Anywhere they call it at-tahajjud, or they call it qiyam al-layl. This is what is intended here, the chapter with regards to this affair, Bab al-Witr. Bab al-Witr. When is the Witr? Huh? The night prayer. When does it start? After Isha. Sah. Now the Witr prayer, the time for the Witr prayer, it starts after Isha, after Salat al-Isha. We say after Salat al-Isha, and it ends until Tulu' al-Fajr. And it ends until Tulu' al-Fajr. The benefit from that, that to know the time of al-Witr, that it's after Salat al-Isha. After Salat al-Isha, until Tulu' al-Fajr. So therefore, after a person, he prays Isha, any time after that and before the rising of the Fajr, he can pray the Witr prayer. He can pray the Witr prayer. The benefit in that is to know, for example, when one is traveling, if he combined the Maghrib and the Isha at Maghrib time. He combined the Maghrib and the Isha at Maghrib time. And he prayed Isha. And he prayed Maghrib, then he prayed Isha together at Maghrib time. Now can he pray Witr? If we say that Witr, the time of Witr starts after Isha prayer is prayed, can he pray now?
No.
Yes, he can pray now. The time for Witr starts after the Isha prayer has been prayed. After the Isha prayer has been prayed, not before that. So after he prayed the Isha prayer, and he legislatively, and he then it's allowed for him after that to pray the Witr. So if somebody prayed Isha with Maghrib at the time of Maghrib while he's traveling, then after that he can pray immediately. Alhamdulillah, even at the time literally is Maghrib time, but in his right, the time is Isha. Because whenever you combine, the prayers become one prayer at that time. The time becomes one for both prayers.
Is that after Isha pray or after the time of Isha?
After Isha prayed.
After Isha prayed.
After he prayed Isha.
He can make Jamia together with Maghrib and Isha and pray Isha. Then you can pray
Witr. No, like for example, at Maghrib time.
Yeah, Maghrib time.
At Maghrib time, he prays Maghrib, then he prays Isha, two rak'ah.
Yeah.
And then after that, he can pray Witr. He can pray Witr. Now. So the author, he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, Babu al-Witr. Babu al-Witr. Yani the night prayer. The night prayer, which is called al-Witr. Yani that a person, he will pray the night prayer, and then he will close that with one rak'ah, yani, as the witr, or an odd number in this manner. The details will come, inshallah. He says, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال سأل رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر ما ترى في صلاة الليل قال مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي سبحة صلى واحدة فأوترت له ما صلى وأنه كان يقول اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وترا. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that a man, he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was upon the minbar. That a man, he came and he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's upon the minbar. He said, he asked about Salat al-Layl. He asked about Salat al-Layl. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the night prayer. He asked about the night prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Mathna, Mathna, two and two. Mathna, Mathna, and Mathna means yani thantaini. Thantaini, thantaini. Mathna, Mathna, a thantaini, thantaini, two and two. Two, like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded, What do you say about the night prayer? He said, two. And he two and two, in this manner, like this. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَسُّبْحَ صَلَّ وَاحِدًا. So if he is afraid of the coming of the Fajr, if he's afraid of the coming of the Fajr, the time of the entrance of the Fajr, then he will pray one. Then he will pray one rak'ah. فَأَوْتَرَتْ لَهُمَ صَلَّ. And this will make the witr for that which he has preceded, any that which he had prayed before. Any that which he prayed before, and he's praying the methna methna. So that's two. So if he prayed two, that's two. If he prayed two more, that's four, six, eight. However many he prayed like this, then he has prayed an even number. Methna, methna, and he's praying an even number. Then he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so if one of you is afraid now that the morning is about to arise and the fajr is about to come, then he'll pray one. Then he'll pray one and he'll make that which he prayed before, and he, from those even numbers, he'll make it all odd. And he'll make it to an odd number. And he will make it witr. أَوْتَرَتْ لَهُ مَصَلَّى. It will make that which he prayed before become witr, yani an odd number. So if he prayed two, and he's afraid of the coming of the subh, then he will pray one. It will make it three. If he prayed two and two, which is four, then he wanted to make the witr, he'll pray one, make it five. If he prayed two and two, which is six, and he wanted to make the witr in this manner, now he prayed one, he'll make it seven. So then the last rak'ah, the one rak'ah by itself, he would make any أَوْتَرَتْ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى, that he would make that which he prayed before from the even numbers into an odd number. And this is called al-witr. This is called al-witr. And then he says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ أَيْ Abdullah ibn Umar, and that's what is intended here in this verse, in this hadith, that Ibn Umar, he used to say, radiyallahu anhu, ija'alu akhira salatikum bil-layli witra, make the last of your prayer at nighttime witr, make the last prayer you pray at nighttime witr. And also it has come in Sahih Bukhari, and after this he said, fa'inna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amara bihi, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded that. And there are also narrations authentic, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that himself, ija'alu akhira salatikum bil-layli witra, make the end, the last prayer that you pray, or the end of your prayer at nighttime, make it witr, make it an odd number. So we see here the manner to pray the night prayer, methna methna. And this is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise it has come that he prayed that way himself. And the description of the witr prayer has come in a number of manners. And in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a number of manners how he prayed the night prayer, and likewise the number of times. But what has come from his statement and his action, yani what has come from his statement and his action, methna methna. And he said this, he advised this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray two, and he also did that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another wording in Sahih Muslim of this narration, qila li ibn Umara, ma mathna mathna. It was mentioned to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the narrator of this hadith. He said, what does that mean, mathna mathna, two and two? What does that mean? So Ibn Umar, he says, and yusallima fi kulli rak'atayn. And yusallima fi kulli rak'atayn, that he will make taslim in every two rak'ah. That he will make taslim in every two rak'ah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, how do you pray the night prayer? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, two and two. What does two and two mean? That he will pray two and make taslim. Then he'll pray two and make taslim like this. This is the meaning. So there are other narrations, any of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed five straight. He prayed five straight with one salam, and he prayed seven likewise with one salam. He would pray seven, he would sit in the sixth without salam, and then he would make the seventh, and then make salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he would also eight the same way, he would pray eight straight, and then he would sit, and then he would stand without making salam, and then he would make the witr, number nine, and then he would make salam. There's a number of manners that it has come in the sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he prayed, and also it has come that he prayed methna methna, two and two and two, and then he would pray ten in this manner, and then he would make one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the witr. And this is what he advised. So therefore, if a person was to ask, how do you make the witr prayer, the advice is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is to pray two and two, two and two, as much as one likes. He will pray two, and if he suffices with that, alhamdulillah, then he prays one to make it witr, making it three. Or he will pray two and two, that's four. And then he'll make one, making a five, that's witr. He'll pray two and two and two, like this, methna methna. And then he'll pray one to make it witr. And there's no end to the amount that one can pray. He can pray as much as he likes. And this is what is understood from this narration. He's asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is the night prayer? مَا تَرَى فِي صَلَاتِ اللَّيْلِ قَالَ مَثْنَا مَثْنَا فِي ذَخَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ السُّبْحَ أَوْ تَرَتْ يَنِي صَلَّ رَكَةً وَحِدَةً أَوْ تَرَتْ لَهُ مَقَدْ صَلَّى. That he will pray مَثْنَا مَثْنَا until he's afraid of the morning coming. And at this time, as much as he likes. So there's no limit. Yani to the much that one wants to pray, and he will pray two and two. Yani, and this is the best way, and the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, because a person who is going to, for example, pray five straight, then he will have to hold himself there. As for the one who prays two, he can pray two and take care of a need, and pray two more and take care of a need in this manner, and it's easy for him. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.